got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage. Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
Happy Nerds Day, everybody. This is Scott, a.k.a. Darth Monger, with Micah behind the glass, a.k.a. Darth Ambivalus, missing Darth Harmonic today as he is on assignment in Japan. We hope to hear great things from him next week. Darthus Binkus.
You know, because he's missing, he goes by Darthus Binkus.
So we're going to refer to Nick as Darthus Binkus today because he's in Japan.
Yeah, because he's in Japan on vacation collecting Pokemon cards.
Fair enough. Yeah. Hey, we're going to talk about that later in the show. We have a great guest that's going to be joining us in studio, Edgar Morales, who is a part-time bartender, full-time photographer, and part-time Pokemon collector. It's going to talk to us about some Pokemon stuff later in the show. So that should be cool. But been a really busy kind of week as far as some news that we're getting out of just DC and some of the things that are coming up out of there. Oh my gosh, I don't know where that's all out. We had a new episode of Bad Batch. And then we kind of had almost a letdown episode from The Last of Us after last week's amazing episode. It was still good, but
yeah,
we'll have to talk about
bad.
That.
It's just last week's episode was so good. It was like, and the three of us loved the episode. I happened to be watching a podcast on Wednesday that I always watch, and at the end of the episode, the guy who watched the show was like, "This is so close to perfect television."
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, good. So it's not just me who loves the show.
And I think we knew that even last week after we saw it, that it was more than just us. It was an amazing opportunity for us to see some great stuff that happened.
And it sucks. It really sucks that, you know, you're not going to see them again.
Yeah.
But, like, just such good character development. Two characters that you can actually care about. That's one thing The Walking Dead a lot of times failed to do.
Well, and I thought, you know, so we'll jump right into it with the DCU. We've seen all the hubbub and all of the angst that's come out of the DC universe about the different things that are happening with James Gunn and the takeover there and some of the things that are going in Safran and what they're going to do. And we got some news this past week that I'm not surprised by, but we're starting to shift. And I like how they're saying that they are going to get rid of the DCEU, so the expanded universe of DC, and then we're going to focus on the DCU, which is just the DC universe. And they're really going to focus on that with being the Flash. And I'm really interested to see how well it is, because Gunn called it one of the greatest superhero movies he's ever seen.
So he's seen it already.
That's what we're hearing.
Imagine he had already seen it.
Yeah.
Do you think he saw it before they hired him? I wonder if they said, we're going to show you this, and depending on how good it was, he took the job.
It could have been. You know, the fact that they've already got that essentially in the can, ready to go. Same with Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. We're going to see those movies this year, and so I don't know how much editing they're going to do with the Aquaman film, but it's really going to kind of separate Aquaman from what we've seen in the previous films, and we're going to start to really get into a whole new landscape within the DC universe. So I enjoyed it. I actually liked Aquaman. I liked the films that they've done with him so far. I think that Jason Momoa plays that character well in the way that they're doing it. It's definitely not the original Justice League Aquaman that we saw, you know, in the 80s with the Super Friends, but I like the way that they've gone about it and done it. I think he works in that character.
I think so too. I'm glad they're keeping him on.
Yeah.
The question is, who's going to be Wonder Woman?
Yeah. And so, I don't know, but I did read in the article that I was looking at that they have essentially kind of confirmed that Gal Gadot is going to be back for a third film.
Good.
They're going to do that. And then there's also some elements of getting into her early years on as the princess of the I can never say that word.
The Mysteria or whatever that.
Yeah, that's so hard to say. And that they're going to be able to do some things in that regard. You know, they talk about Paradise Lost, which is a prequel to Wonder Woman. So we could see a young Gal Gadot. We could see a younger you know, Princess Diana that isn't Gal Gadot, could be somebody else. So who knows how they're going to do that. And then they're going to do some things with Viola Davis as Waller, which we saw in...
Which I'm excited about.
Yeah, we saw in Suicide Squad and Peacemaker, which that could be really interesting.
Now, are they keeping those canon, or do you think they're going to throw those out?
You know, based on what I've read, I don't really know. I mean, they've got so many different things going on right now, which you've got multiple versions of the Joker, you've got all these different things. But I did read also that they're going to continue with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker to do the next one, which we're going to have Lady Gaga is going to be in that as well, which is going to be interesting as we continue to do all that stuff.
Well, and also the Batman is going to be its own universe.
It's going to be its own universe.
So I think that the Joker and the Batman should probably stay their own universe.
Yep. And that's definitely going to happen. And then we're hearing that the new, not the Batman, but the Batman series as it goes on in the DCU is actually going to get into multiple Batman. So Batman. You know, he's Batman. I'm Batman. No, we're both Batman. I don't know what that is. It's going to be interesting. But there's just a lot of things going on. And, you know, you got to give James Gunn some credit, and you've got to give him a little bit of grace to go, they did great stuff in Marvel, and what he was a part of with Guardians of the Galaxy, I thought they did great. So I think we've got some opportunities there. I did find it interesting that they're trying to separate the DCU from the MCU. And one of the ways that they're doing that is they're calling them chapters and not phases like they did in the MCU, which it's same, except different. But I guess he's just really trying to focus on a little bit of different stuff that's going on. We also have other elements so that they've got opportunities just like Disney does by using Disney Plus and some of the other things. They're going to be able to leverage HBO Max and some of the other streaming media services so they can go, you know, direct to HBO Max in a movie. They could do a series on HBO Max. They can do a theatrical release. So I think they've got some opportunities to do something well. We'll just have to see.
And they're going to use the same actors through, you know, through the video games and the movies and the TV shows. So that should be helpful. By the way, there's this thing called the Elseworlds, which is going to allow them to explore other versions of the characters.
Essentially like the multiverse that we're seeing within the MCU.
Which is going to be actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it definitely could. I think it will help explain, for lack of a better term, some of the elements that are missing or have gone different, just like they did with, you know, the Multiverse of Madness, where we got to see Professor X and we got to see, you know, Mr. Fantastic that show up in those areas that's different than what we've seen in the past within the early editions of the MCU in those first phases in the Marvel environment. So
let's hope there's no time travel, because I'm tired of that.
I think that we're going to end up with that. I think with the Flash and some of the capabilities he's got there, we're probably going to end up with some time travel, which I'm not a fan of, but we'll see.
As a Star Trek fan, I see it all too often, and I'm tired of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then we're going to get into more, even with the Superman kind of element, we're going to get into the earlier stages of him.
How do you feel about that, a younger Superman?
I'm okay with it. And I think the idea of having Henry Cavill kind of be known as the older, you know, Superman, and we get into him. I would love to see what was Superman like in his 20s, you know, when he was just trying to become Clark Kent. He's just trying to do these kind of things. I think it would be an interesting way to develop that story. And there are so many great Superman villains that we just have never touched on. And it's always been Lex Luthor. And while that's a great villain, let's get into some of the other ones that are out there. And, you know, we could get away from Zod and Lex Luthor and get into some of these other ones and see what happens. So I think there's an opportunity there for some really good stuff to come out. And I think we'll talk about this later with the pop culture environment and everything that's gaining ground. I think that there's a lot of benefit and value that they can see when they start to bring on some really good films. And, you know, I know that the element of Black Adam was sort of, you know, love it or hate it. I enjoyed Black Adam. I thought it was a good film. It was a great action film. It was a great rock film. But it probably serves a different group than would actually get completely committed to something that is really DC heavy and they could really run with. So we'll see what comes of that. But I don't know.
So who's going to be the central character in all this? Is it going to be Batman or is it going to be Superman? Because it's got to be one of the two.
You know, I have a feeling that, I don't know, but what I would like to see is it not be a central character. I would like to see a group.
Okay.
You know, I like the way that we had the Justice League, and it would be great to see that kind of start to build up. And maybe Superman becomes the start of it, but it gets developed so that we have all of them, because I like that idea. And I know that we kind of toyed with it in Black Adam when they were talking about the Justice Society, but I would love to see the Justice League and you get all of those characters brought into it in some capacity that they got to work together. And it wasn't just one. It was all of them. Because I think if it is one, it's got to be Superman, because he's the strongest of them all. Or at least we thought until we saw Black Adam, and we thought, well, maybe Black Adam's stronger than him. I don't know. But you kind of have to have a central character to start that group, but I'd love to see it be bigger than just the one. Kind of like what we saw with Iron Man, how he kind of started it, and then it just sort of evolved into something that became the Avengers. So I'd like to see it. But I don't know. I'm, you know, all over the place, and we'll see what happens. And I'm enjoying the fact that we get more nerd pop culture stuff coming as we move into the next few years and everything else that's happening. So we should have good stuff.
Scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you?
You know, I'm probably a 7.
Okay.
How about you?
I'm probably in the 6-5 range, because I'm feeling it. I don't want it to go dark. I don't want it to go too campy happy. So I'm just going to wait around and hope.
We'll see what happens. All right. Well, just as we said, see what happens. Stick around and see what happens in the next segment as we get into The Last of Us and this week's shift in storytelling from last week. So stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Nerd Show, coming to you from the Allo Communications Studios in downtown Greeley. This is The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. And we are here sans Nick Kenny, a.k.a. Darthus Binkus, today, because he is normally Darth Harmonic, but because he's on assignment in Japan.
He's apparently left us behind.
He's left us behind. Hopefully he brings us good stuff back. We'll find out next week.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. So we'll do that. So we were talking right before the break about The Last of Us and how it was a change of pace from what we saw from the previous week, which for some people, Mike, including you, you said before the show, was kind of a letdown.
It was a letdown this week, because last week was so good. And this was by no means a bad episode. This was very Walking Dead-like in that, you know, you meet a group of people, and the group of people, there's a bad guy in charge, but how bad is that person? And there's some action that goes on, and some people die. It wasn't a bad episode. It was just like, after last week's really good episode, really good character building, it was a different change of pace, and I kind of want to go back to the last episode.
And it was the shortest episode that we've had so far.
Yeah.
52 minutes. So definitely, and it felt longer than last week's.
It did.
And I think part of it is because the story was, we still had to tell the story about what was going on, and they get to Kansas City and they get stuck at a spot that they can't get past the highway. And, you know, I was a little bit perturbed by that, in that, you know, so they have that little underpass that's blocked off. And, you know, Joel says, well, you know, we just need to, you know, go around. It'll take us just a couple minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, whenever you have a tunnel like that, there's usually a road that is crossing perpendicular to that road, which we saw. And there's usually an off ramp and then an immediate on ramp at that intersection. And so I felt like where that was and how they set that up, for me, I got lost, because I didn't agree with the fact that they could get in a downtown Kansas City and get lost trying to drive through the highway in that way. So that irritated me.
You're nerd picking there, and I absolutely agree with you. Even though I don't know anything about cars or driving, I kind of thought, like, how did they get into the city and lost somehow?
Yeah, that bothered me. In that, so I kind of fell out of the story because of that little element. And then, of course, they're trying to find the highway. And, you know, those are things that I think in that situation they would never have gotten themselves into. But obviously it needs to drive the story forward because we needed to see, is it Karen that is the little leader of that little mafia group that's in Kansas City that is just, she's got her own story, which is crazy. But it
and
just,
we don't know how long the story is going to be.
Yeah, we don't know where that's going to go. I did, when I was watching the after episode things, if I picked up correctly, I believe her, like Sergeant at Arms, that we interact with a little bit, and he kind of shows her the little ground that's getting ready to give way underneath the building, which we're assuming
is some kind of monster.
Is some sort of the fungus that's coming for them. If I saw correctly, he is actually also the actor that voiced that character in the video game.
Really?
I believe so. If I picked up on what they were saying in the after show, kind of, you know, inside the episode, that's kind of what I picked up, which I thought was cool because we've seen that already before.
And one of the showrunners is one of the show, the video game runners.
Yeah. So I like the idea that they're continuing to do that so that the voices stay consistent for the people who have appreciated both. So.
And he said that he had played the game before. Yeah. Now, I think this was just kind of a stop.
Yeah.
In the video game. So
oh, yeah.
It wasn't like a major plot point. So I'm wondering, is this just going to be two episodes? Are they going to somehow get out, or are they going to be let out, or is this going to be – are they going to expand on this like they expanded on our two characters last week who were voices on the radio?
Well, I don't know. I did think it was interesting to see that Karen was assuming that everything that happened because of Joel and Ellie was becoming this guy Henry. And they're out to get him, and then they start searching for him. And then you see, they're like, yeah, we found evidence of him. And it's there's two different plot lines that are going simultaneously. You've got Joel and Ellie who are trying to avoid being captured, and we see right at the end of the episode that they do, but might not be from who we think it is. But then you've got Karen and her group going after these other people who she keeps blaming it on Henry. And they see the little stash house with all the food and, you know, the two Supermen drawings side by side. That's interesting. I have a feeling that's going to play into what we're dealing with. And I'm excited because I love the way the show keeps expanding. And it isn't just about, you know, killing zombies or killing the infected. It is a much bigger story than that. But that's always an undertone of what they're trying to avoid. And I expected something to happen to him in the forest when they pulled off for the night, and I was pleasantly surprised when it didn't. But we also saw Joel stay up all night so that he could keep her safe.
Yes. And my favorite part of the episode, by the way, is the book of puns.
Yeah, the book of puns.
That jokes. Was great.
Yeah. Now, one other thing before we get into the book of puns is that when Ellie shoots the guy that's getting ready to kill Joel.
Oh, my God.
And we see how Joel reacts to that, and I like the way that that character development for both of them happened. It was like he takes the gun from her immediately, makes her leave, and he finishes off Brian, the guy that, you know, is all of a sudden he's going to kill Joel, and now that the tables have turned, now he's the super nice guy. But then Joel's like, didn't even ask her where she got it. He just gives it back to her, unloaded, and says, let me see you hold it. And he teaches her how to hold it and goes through that element. And it was like this shift and transition of going from, I'm going to protect you from this, to, all right, here you go. And the only thing he tells her is don't put it in her backpack or put it in her backpack so she doesn't shoot her butt off. So,
yeah, yeah.
But very interesting. And I'm, you know, curious to see how that continues to develop their relationship as characters. And I know he's really, really fixated on the fact that she's a kid.
We have only a couple minutes left in this segment, so let's move on to the Bad Batch.
Well,
what did you think of it?
The Bad Batch was okay. Nothing great. It's you know, we're dealing with the same kind of stuff that we've been dealing with before. And
at what point are we going to move on? I think another seed was put in this episode. Hey, we've got to go out and fight the Empire.
Yep, we're seeing it again, and Echo is going to continue to push that. And, you know, Gungi being shown up again because we saw him in, you know, some of the it was either Rebels or the Clone Wars series before. So that was not a new character. We see that again. I'm not surprised by that. They keep pulling in some of those things. I'm not as vested in this series as I was the first series. And I'm realistically, I'm just waiting for the next few weeks, because we've got Picard coming up next week. We've got Mandalorian coming up at the beginning of March. I'm looking forward to those things. The Bad Batch, I actually had to look up before the show what happened in the last episode of Bad Batch because I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
It just is.
I saw it Sunday night.
Yeah.
And usually I watch it like the Wednesday. And
yeah.
I've been forgetting because they've been kind of forgettable.
They have been. It's been a little bit of a bummer. And
some of the episodes have been good, but for the most part, season one has been way better.
Season one was way better, even with, you know, the whiny Omega. And the best episode of the series so far is still the one with Crosshair.
Yeah. I think they need to get more into them battling the Empire and get back with Crosshair. More your juicy story. Omega, not as much.
She
needs to grow up and grow up fast.
I agree. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to bring into studio Edgar, who is going to tell us everything that we ever wanted to know about Pokemon and Pokemon card collecting, and is going to enlighten us tremendously in our nerddom. So stick around, folks. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Nerd Show, Nerdians. We are here in studio with a special guest I alluded to at the beginning of the hour, with Edgar, who is a master server at 477 Distilling right down the street from us. But in addition to that, he is also a nerd like we are, but different in that his speciality is Pokemon cards. Welcome, Edgar.
Hey, Scott. How's it going?
It's going great. Yeah, I wish Nick was here, too, because he'd probably have something even better to say. But with him on assignment in Japan.
Oh, I'm sure. Especially because he was just in Japan.
And yeah.
Maybe he's collecting Pokemon cards.
He might.
I hope so.
Did you ask him to bring you back some special Japanese-only Pokemon cards?
I was going to, but I felt like he was already kind of
you should have
asked.
Edge
about the trip. But.
Oh, come on. Darth Harmonic can do just about anything, so we can make that happen.
The way I thought about it, I'll just go down there myself.
I like that. You're going to go at some point in time. So we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, having you on the show, because I saw you in the distillery, and you were with somebody else, and you were going through cards and trading cards. And I remember that when I was a kid, and we kind of started geeking out about it. And so tell us about your collection. How'd you get started? You know, what is it that you like about Pokemon? Wherever you want to start.
Yeah. Yeah. So, honestly, I definitely was into Pokemon ever since I was a kid. And then just kind of picked it up again, like maybe 2-3 years ago. And this whole thing has just been nostalgia for me. Honestly,
okay.
Just looking at old cards, just going through everything is just pure nostalgia. Just growing up as a kid watching Pokemon and having Pokemon cards as a kid.
So you did both. That's what was going to be my question.
Yep. So definitely watched it. If I'm correct, I think the cards came out first, and then they did kind of the anime, like the really popular show that came out based on it. But yeah, as a kid, definitely had a lot of cards. I wish I would have taken care way better of them as a kid. But yeah, that's kind of how it got it started.
Are you one of those guys who's like, don't take it out of the package, leave the toy in the package, or will you play with it?
Oh no, absolutely. I leave it in the package. I collect Funko Pops as well. Totally leave those in the box as well.
I admit it that I've done that too. My Darkwing Ducks are still in the package.
They are. But with the Pokemon cards, though, you have to open them in order to know what's inside, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So there's a huge difference right now between like modern and vintage Pokemon cards. So if you look at like the vintage, like the first like ever base sets that ever came out, like we're talking like 90s, a lot of people like to keep those sealed in the packages.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of those are worth up to like probably over $1,000, especially if it's first edition. And that's just like one little package if it's sealed.
And nobody knows what's inside that package.
Nope.
It's not like it's full set.
You could absolutely have not even a holographic on there, just plain common cards. But
and I'm laughing because I was in my 20s when we're talking about the 90s. But that's okay. I was still a nerd then, so
yeah,
that's all right. Wow.
Yeah.
So those are obviously worth a lot of money now. And then you said something about holographics. What do you mean by holographics?
So the way sets work in Pokemon is So they have holographic cards. Like, for example, the very first set that ever came out in the 90s, I believe it's like 150 Pokemon. And out of those 150, they made a Pokemon card for each one. Whereas some of them would get holographic foils on the card, and those are the ones that are worth the most.
Gotcha.
The ones that don't have any holographic foil are just like your common cards.
Your standard
like
cards.
Standard card or whatever.
Gotcha. So then I'm assuming you had a favorite Pokemon growing up.
Oh, absolutely.
And that would be?
Charizard.
Charizard.
Which is a little basic because I feel like everyone else likes Charizard, but.
Yeah. Now, is that one of the, it's kind of like a dragon?
Yep. So it's like a fire-breathing lizard.
I feel very good actually guessed that.
But yeah.
It was like, yeah.
This is the first time I'm hearing of Charizard. This is how much I know about Pokemon.
We're going to educate you.
Yeah, so I think Charizard right now is the Pokemon card worth the most.
Really?
I was just looking up right before I got here, PSA graded 10 of the base set Shadowless Pokemon card is worth over $40,000.
Wow. Yeah. So if anybody has one out there you would like to donate to Edgar, he would appreciate it very much.
Oh, absolutely.
Or sell for like a very, very, very low price.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe somebody has one and they go, I didn't know it was worth that much. Thanks, Edgar. Here's your finder's fee.
And that's what's so funny. I was telling someone who also works at the distillery. I was telling them about how I have a bunch of Pokemon cards and a lot of them are vintage. They're worth quite a bit. And she was telling me, she's like, my brother has a lot. I should ask him to just give them to me. And I was like, yeah, call him up. And middle of the shift, we call his brother. And then he's like, oh, no, I already sold him and paid my rent.
Oh.
So a lot of people just could just be sitting on them and have no idea how much they're worth. Cause,
it's crazy how that works. And, you know, I think baseball cards were like that in the 70s and 80s. And you had some of those cards that really got really hot and they were worth a lot of money. And I think with a lot of things, they tend to ebb and flow.
Uh-huh.
And I think with the pop culture phenomenon that we've seen going on in the last 10 plus years with people getting more interested and more willing to be open about what they collect and what they like, as opposed to like when I was a kid, you kind of had to be quiet if you were a nerd because you got beat up in school. If they called, they call you a nerd, or if you found out that they found out you were a Star Wars fan. So now it's cool, but then it wasn't as cool. So
when did that shift happen?
It was after I got out of college. So I don't know.
Like now,
mid to late 90s, early 2000s. I don't know.
But. In high school, and I went to high school in the late 90s, but in high school, we didn't get beat up for being nerds. At least the people I knew didn't get beat up for being nerds. It just wasn't cool. You only got to hang out with your friends if you were a nerd. No one wanted to hang out with you.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But I'm glad that shift has happened because it's opened us up to all these different elements.
Is
it really that good of a shift? Because I feel like if a lot of people identify as nerds, then like my identity is kind of gone.
Well, we talked about this on the show before where it's almost like it's become the it thing.
And I don't want to be an it thing.
Everybody's shifted to now everybody's a Star Wars fan or everybody's a Star Trek fan or everybody's a nerd. And
show me your card. Show me your card fandom.
Yeah, I didn't ever get one because I never asked for one. But anyways, well, we should focus on Pokemon because, Edgar here. So I know you were talking about getting them and trading them and everything else. Where is it that you pick them up now? Do you have a favorite spot locally?
I do. So like to go a lot of local card shops. The Nerd Store here in town, here in downtown Greenwich.
Right around the corner from where we are.
Yep. Good spot to get Pokemon cards. There's also a lot of people wouldn't believe it, but at the Greeley Mall, there's an Asian gift store.
Okay.
And the owner of the Asian gift store also has a huge collection. He's kind of like a heavy hitter kind of guy.
Nice.
Like he does like $10,000 transactions and stuff like that. But, he
may not appreciate that advertisement that we just gave for him.
But he does a lot of collecting and he does a lot of trades and sells a lot of Pokemon singles there too. So when then there's a lot of big spots over in Denver.
Okay. And are you more of a want to buy the individuals and you go for those specific things? Or are you more of a, buy a box or buy a bunch of packs and open them up and then see what you got?
So that has definitely transitioned. When I first started getting into it again, like maybe 2 years ago, and I was definitely just like buying boxes and then It's my girlfriend always tells me it's a weird way of gambling. She's, might be a little bit right, but
yeah, but that's fun. Like right, the excitement of opening the package and hoping you get that one card, and when you get it, you're like, yes.
But yeah, when I first started, I definitely was buying like boxes, trying to see if I would get a lucky pull or something like that. But then shortly after that, I realized how much money was being spent on that. And now I merely just focus on just buying single cards.
The ones that you want? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Cool. So what is one of your favorite cards in your collection today? And you can disguise it a little bit because we don't want to give away too much because we don't want people coming after Edgar for his special Pokemon card.
So I'm in the middle of completing. So back in the late 90s, they were doing, it was called the Gym Challenge Gym Hero set.
Yep.
So just following the anime, they had like gym leaders and they ended up making Pokemon cards that went along with like the gym leaders. And I'm getting pretty close to finishing completing that Gym Challenge Gym Hero set. So my favorite Pokemon card would be, it's called Blaine's Charizard.
Oh, very good. Going back to your original, your favorite character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, and it's interesting you mentioned that you talk about the gyms, because I remember when Pokemon Go came out.
Oh, yeah.
And it was such a big thing.
It was a huge phenomenon.
You know, you were getting into, you know, the geolocation of services and all the other things that were happening. And and so it really moved from a physical trading card and an anime on TV into a digital realm. And so there's elements of that that I'm hearing and we're starting to get into. So you had the Pokemon Go and the things that you could do and collect the gym leaders and go to gyms and check in. And now all of a sudden we're seeing this big surge in the last couple of years with non-fungible tokens. And so I think after this segment, we'll talk a little bit about that, see what you're seeing, what you anticipate coming up. And we'll talk more about the digital side of Pokemon. So Nerd, stick around. We'll be right back with Edgar as we get into the depths of the digital realm of Pokemon. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Nerd Show, coming to you from the Allo Communications Studios in downtown Greeley, Colorado. We are here with Edgar. We're talking about Pokemon. We're talking about the digital side of it. We talked a little bit about Pokemon Go and then NFTs. So before we get into NFTs, were you a Pokemon Go fanatic?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When it hit in 2016, it was a phenomenon.
I
actually lived in Brush at the time, which is a very small rural town. And I would drive up to Greeley to be able to go to like more gyms and get more steps in and all that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was such an interesting way to kind of take a digital collectible item and make it somewhat interactive and then to provide, you know, some fitness elements to it and all of the different things. It was really wild when that happened. And I remember on the technology side, that becoming a problem for some of the service providers and other things like that because there were certain locations. Like if they stood up a really desirable gym in an area that didn't have great cell coverage, it was like, oh, man, there were problems. And the Pokemon, you know, tried and true were getting really angry with some of the service providers because they didn't have cell coverage where there was a gym. So
yeah, I really do think the Pokemon Go thing is kind of what just, I mean, Pokemon was already, like, you know, it was pretty popular.
Yeah.
Then after that, it's just, because then people who, like, had never even heard of Pokemon were just playing the game because their kids were playing the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great just way to get everybody in and everything else like that. So, yeah, we talked about the gyms and we talked about what else from the Go era did you learn, appreciate, enjoy, or maybe were like, oh, I wish they would have done this and never did?
I think Honestly, it was pretty perfect.
Yeah.
Already as it was,
Like, well, cool.
Maybe just adding more Pokemon and just not making them as hard to find in like different areas was probably the thing for me. But honestly, I think they
They did a good job.
Got it right on. Yeah, yeah.
Now I knew of it and everything else. Is it still going? Is it still active?
Oh, or? Absolutely. Yeah. Even when I'm at work at the distillery, I see families just walk by playing, and you can tell they're playing because they're just glued to their phone like this.
And how many have walked into traffic?
I don't know about that one.
Okay,
but you've never actually seen one personally.
Hopefully they don't walk into traffic. I know that was at some point a problem.
It was,
and that I have seen people like on their phone texting, not paying attention, walk into traffic or almost run people over.
I have seen in downtown Greeley before somebody on their phone and walk into either a light pole or one of the barrels outside the distillery or a bench or something. So it happens. It's a very distractible item that we have in our hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And get there. Well, before we came on air, we were actually talking a little bit about the whole NFT side of it. And for hopefully all of you nerds out there know what an NFT is.
But non-fungible
token. And it's basically built around the uniqueness that blockchain, which is a technology that allows for essentially anonymity as well as consistency. And I'm sure somebody can correct me on this, but the validity of something. And so was looking and doing some research, and Pokemon right now doesn't do NFTs.
Mm-mm.
And I think that's an opportunity that they could get into and wonder if they're going to evolve to that. But there are some third-party ways that you can get into it and actually work on that from an exchange perspective. So what are your thoughts about that, Edgar? Do you see that becoming something really great or not?
I think it could be great, especially with – because it would give – because a lot of NFTs have to do with like people's like own specific art as well, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that would be another great thing, you know, for any artists who like to do that as well. But yeah, I think it would be good, especially if they're backed by an actual card. That would be gnarly.
Well, because like right now you can do it. And I was doing some research on this. And the way it works is that you would have to get your card verified and validated that it's an actual Pokemon card.
Mm-hmm.
And you would do that, you know, through kind of like a, you know, a custodian or somebody else with that. And then from there, you would have to get it registered into the blockchain environment as a unique item. But what happens is that physical card then stays with the custodian,
right?
That is a third party that has it. So now you've got somebody else that holds the physical card, and now you're selling or trading the digital asset that is tied directly to that card, but nobody's able to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where for collectors like yourself and other people, that becomes a bit of a challenge, because it's like, I like having the physical card.
The actual card, yeah.
And if you can't have the physical card, maybe for some the digital is okay. I have a friend of mine who lives back east, and he loves 4K videos,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't want DVDs or Blu-rays. He's like, I'll just buy the digital version. And I'm like, that's great.
Well, there's a problem with buying the digital version.
There is a problem
with
that.
Once it's off of Apple TV, then it's no longer yours.
Right. Yeah, so there's the element of it that without that physical asset that you can touch and hold and feel, you kind of lose that ownership mindset around it.
Especially, so, you know, especially right now, I think all NFTs are overrated. We've heard stories about NFTs selling for like millions of dollars, just ridiculous amount of money. And now you hear stories of like them not being worth a damn thing. I think if you want this to be legitimate, you have to have a world like Pokemon to get into it and say, okay, we've been around for years. We have artists. We have a following. We are going to get into the NFTs, and we are going to set the example, and we are going to bring in the legitimacy. Right now, even though I don't understand crypto that well, I would never get into NFTs. But if a company like Pokemon were to bring its legitimacy to it, and Pokemon is proven, especially with Pokemon Go,
mm-hmm.
it's proven that it can get like the novices to sign up. I think this is something that if they're not planning on doing, they'd be missing out. They could make a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it would have the potential to just be crazy. just by the cards alone, people already go crazy over it.
Well, and I mean, this is how bad it could get. So, not too long ago, a gentleman by the name of Logan Paul found this out, where he spent $3.5 million on what he thought were 6 first edition Pokemon booster boxes. And it turned out they were bogus. So that's the other side of the equation, is that how do you make sure that you're able to do this in such a way that it is legitimate and it's tied to the actual assets? Then you kind of run into that. So right now what they're saying is that there's a current value of a Pokemon Skyridge number 146. Is it Charizard?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The holo. And right now it's valued at about $10,500 is what they're saying. But again, that is a physical card that has been minted and been presented to a custodian that is physically somewhere. And then someone has the actual digital asset aside to that from a digital perspective that's a part of the blockchain, and that's how they're getting through that. But right now, if that person was like, hey, I'm going to cash out and do it, they would have to pull it out of the custodian's hold,
right,
and then in order to actually hold the physical card. So it's a little bit weird how that works. So do you think that we'll see that in the future, or do you think we're going to stick with the physical cards?
I think for right now, the physical cards are probably just going to reign supreme for a hot minute, just because I think there would be a huge divided, like, people really against NFTs and then some people for it. And mostly because of what you had just previously said about, like, you know, wanting that physical card that backs it.
Yeah, I think it's a thing that is yet to be determined, and we'll just have to see how it plays out. And some of us are going to miss out on the quick, easy, early dollars, but the rest of us are probably going to be safe because we didn't lose out on a ton of money like that guy did trying to buy some fake Pokemon cards. So, well, that's it for this week's edition of the Nerd Show. Hopefully you learned a lot about Pokemon and non-fungible tokens and The Last of Us and all the fun stuff that's going on in the DCU. So stick around for what's coming up next on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. And Nerdians, you stay nerdy.